Stuff with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
Let's talk with Neil Atkinson from the Anfield. Right, morning to you, Neil.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, lovely. Yeah, do you quite like the sentiment of Kenny Dalglish having the stand named after him?
Yeah, I think it's more than fair enough. It's also a thing that's happening. I mean, you know, it's the old... And I mean, I know people who don't call it the Centenary Stand, they still call it the Kemlin. There is a resilience in terms of old Liverpoolian names. So, you know, Kenny might have to wait his turn until there's sort of 80,000 people all calling it Kenny Dalglish Stand. But no, it's nice to see the club making that sort of move.
There's no one else, is there, in the history of Liverpool that you think deserves, not that stand, but some sort of different recognition? There's no one outstanding that maybe hasn't been honoured enough by the club?
No, well, I still think that, you know, there's, I mean, many of our sort of former greats are still, you know, you can go right the way back to Alex Reyes, Beck and Elisha Scott, who lost in the dawns of time now, but it's difficult, isn't it, in order to sort of play favourites on that one. But for the repeated sort of role that Dalglish has played in the context of the club, it is difficult to get away from him. I still think that, for instance, both Ronnie Moran and Joe Fagan, in terms of the longevity of service they gave towards the club, it would be nice to see greater recognition to both of them. Ronnie, obviously, without ever becoming a full-time Liverpool manager in his own right, is if I look at a lifetime of service towards the club there, and it would be nice if there could be some sort of way to recognise the pair of them.
Good shout. Right, let's look ahead to the game, Liverpool against Manchester United, and it feels like it has quite a bit riding on this one.
Yeah, it does, and that's the thing that worries me most about the game, to be honest with you, Steve. Liverpool Man United comes with enough baggage on the whole. It's always the biggest game I think in the worldwide club calendar, to be honest with you. I think in recent years there's talk around Barcelona and Real Madrid, but that's a more recent phenomenon. I think that, you know, going back sort of, you know, to the 1980s, Liverpool versus Manchester United is a fixture that stands out to the wider footballing world for a variety of reasons. And we're in a situation here where it's a massive game, but we've got more to lose than they have. There's more riding on it for us than there is for them. And that happens sometimes within a season, and that makes it difficult to manage it. And just in a simple game management sort of situation, I've got no doubt that Manchester United will come to Anfield wanting to win the game, but I also have no doubt that they can come to Anfield and go, you know what, a point's not a bad result here. Man City would take a point here. Chelsea would take a point here. We'll just take our point. And it's difficult for us to match that attitude, and I think in these games sometimes you've got to be able to do that. My point isn't the idea that Liverpool would go into the game any stage and think we'd just take a point. It's more they're at home, you know, but it's more the idea that if it's been a pretty emotional, fraught encounter and it's 1-1 on 70, the idea of being able to go, you know what, lads, we live to fight another day, we move on from this point, from this stage, is important. But it does feel like a game we need to win. So while I can well imagine that for the first hour, Liverpool are the better side, the dominant side, they're on top in the game, and that's how I do think it will play out, there's still every chance that you're not ahead. You know, you can be unlucky, you can finish poorly, the goalkeeper can have a worldie. All of these things at the moment seem very possible for both this Liverpool side and David De Gea. So all that's all that's there. And if it does get to 70, then I think that the manager does need to have the freedom to be able to almost go, you know what, we just shut this down. And nothing daft happens from this point. Like, not dissimilar to Southampton at home last season in May, when the whole crowd was thinking we needed to be getting stuck in much more. I was thinking the same thing. But in hindsight, we still, you know, we don't give anything away soft. And we go on and we finish in fourth place. But I think that's easier said than done when suddenly, you know, Darmian's taking 3 minutes over a throw-in and the entirety of the Kenny Dalglish stands going bananas at him. Because it will be such an emotional encounter for the crowd, because it is, for both sets of supporters, it's difficult to, this is a Liverpool manager who talks a lot about emotion. It's difficult to sort of go, no, it's on 75 minutes now, lads, we're just taking the sting out of it. That's really hard. And given the sort of the situation already with the table, you know, we obviously know that clawing 3 points back on Manchester United completely, and I mean completely, changes the face of the first eight games. It absolutely puts a different spin on the first eight games for Liverpool. That win, although they won't have played the game, puts Liverpool ahead of Tottenham and Chelsea and Arsenal. And it pulls Manchester United back into reach. Man City, you've got a game that's still to come across the weekend. You know, the whole table will just have a different complexion. But if Liverpool lose the game, then it does begin to look, you know, with 30 games to go, like, if I say insurmountable, it overstates it, because it obviously isn't. But United aren't going to drop a ton of points. They're going to drop that, you know, they then need to drop the number of points we are behind them more than us between then and the end of the campaign, and that does begin to get a little bit tricky. So I think we've got to find a way to have the mentality that a draw is not a bad result. I can say this on a Tuesday morning talking to you on the phone, Steve. I'll be in Anfield on Saturday. And if it's half one, I'll be going absolutely bananas.
Yeah. Look, I totally agree with you. A draw isn't the worst thing in the world, but of course we all would love that gap to be closed somewhat. What do you make of the growth of the two clubs side by side? If you went back a couple of years, and United under David Moyes were seemingly in turmoil. They were in a very bad place, but all of a sudden they're a re-energised outfit, aren't they? Both on the pitch and off the field as well. They look like they've made giant strides. Have Liverpool made the similar sort of strides?
Well, I mean, going to the point, the summer where David Moyes gets sacked, it's where Liverpool sell Suarez and lose Sturridge to injury after three games. And straight away there, you could see there was a strength and depth issue for Liverpool. And, it doesn't, by the time Liverpool go away to West Ham in 2015, the clubs, Man United finish ahead of Liverpool in the 14-15 season. So, it isn't as though they've pushed themselves to this point ahead of Liverpool in the last sort of summer. Yes, we finished ahead of them last season, but they won two cups. They've got genuine strength and depth, I think, and that's what they've had full stop. Since Ferguson left, I was reading a stat yesterday that Moyes didn't field the same unique lineup whilst he was Manchester United manager. And you can actually make an argument that one of the things that Moyes found difficult when he went to United was that he just almost had too many good players and he couldn't settle down as to how he was using them. And that's quite an interesting thing. And I actually think that's been a little bit of a problem for the Liverpool manager this season, is that he's trying to deal with, I think he's got two things on his mind. Firstly, he's got the new players that he's got. And he's got the idea of, he's had the fixture run that he's had. But I think simultaneously, he has, I think, one eye on November and December and early January. I think it's already present in his mind what this run is like, where Liverpool will play a game every 3.1 days. In that, he had it in his first season, where he comes in October. But in December and January, Liverpool play a game every 2.9 days. And he found it ridiculously hard, no time on the training pitch. And I only discovered yesterday that in the Bundesliga, they get a six-week winter break. So he's gone from his entire football management outlook having a six-week winter break to move into where he is now, which is, let alone the idea that there isn't a six-week winter break, the games actually come faster. Become thicker and faster. And so I think at the minute, the manager's still getting his head around and still been trying to work through. He's got a number of very good players. He wants to find ways to get them on the pitch, but he also knows there's this terrible run coming up from the third week of November until the end of December, early January, which he's not in the past coped with particularly well. And I think if you begin to think that that's the prism through which he's currently making all of his decisions, then a lot of his decision-making, even if you don't agree with it, becomes a lot more logical. The idea that he's trying to slowly bleed Oxlade-Chamberlain in, having him feel involved, even if he doesn't feel as though he's going to make a particularly game-changing contribution, will be because he's got one eye on that run of games. And all the way through, the way in which he's managing Firmino, the way in which it makes sense in there. And that also, Steve, that's also only what we see. In terms of training, there was lots of talk in the summer that Liverpool's players were absolutely exhausted, that they were being run into the ground again. But we haven't seen that on the pitch yet. Liverpool have not shown that same level of intensity. And it may well be that the manager's plan is to have that level of intensity to come during this run of games that's still a distance away. The problem with that is you don't want to be too far behind. Mm. And that's, again, where Saturday's game comes in that I expect Liverpool to show the intensity of last season, as they did against Arsenal and Hoffenheim. I expect them to show that intensity against Manchester United in that you've got to show it. I mean, full stop, you've got to anyway, but you've got to find a way to show it now. Because Ferguson used to have a thing when he was United manager that he just wanted to be in touch at Christmas. But if I'm just in touch at Christmas, I'll back my players the way in which I've trained them and coached them, and we can come with a run. And I sort of wonder if Jurgen Klopp's thinking something similar this campaign, that he just needs to stay in touch. However, staying in touch, part of that is definitely not losing on Saturday.
So very quickly, a rare Liverpool-Manchester United classic, or one of those dour affairs?
Dour affair. I'd be genuinely surprised if Mourinho point is just absolutely fine, and he'll be thinking these idiots will give me a chance at some stage if I play my cards right, and I currently back my lads to put the ball in the back of the net. Liverpool have got enough to hold into that. They've got to be hugely disciplined, and part of that might mean that it's not a classic. However, I'd love to see a big first 20 from Liverpool, which really scares the life out of United. They'll be using all the tricks to break it up, to slow it down, time waste. But if Liverpool can find a way to bring a bit of storm to them in the first 20 minutes, then I reckon this United side can be got at.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.